listening to the G-Ray Records Music Network. You enjoy.
Welcome, and get ready, because today we're diving deep into something, well, seismic really. A huge shift happening right now in the global music industry. Hi, I'm Inara, your host for the G-Ray Records podcast, specifically at the Grammys, right?
Exactly. The Grammys. You send over an amazing stack of material, industry reports, research, even transcripts from places like PBS NewsHour and Fox Soul.
And it all points to this incredibly vibrant, genre-bending sound that's just taking over
Afro beats and African music more broadly.
Precisely. So our mission today is to unpack this huge decision by the Recording Academy. They're adding a dedicated category for African music.
It's a big deal.
Huge. We want to explore what it means for the artists, for the business side of things, and, you know, for culture worldwide.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Definitely. Get ready to find out how a sound that's been building for decades is finally getting its moment center stage. We'll look at why now, the impact it's already making, and what it might signal for the future.
Sounds great. Where should we start?
Okay, let's kick things off with the announcement itself. The 68th Annual Grammy Awards. That's February 2026. They'll officially have this new category, Best African Music Performance. But this isn't just about like handing out another statue, is it? There's more to it.
Oh, absolutely not. By the way, this is your host, Arsenio, for the G-Ray Records podcast. Now, what's really fascinating here, I think, is that this recognition isn't just symbolic. It's the Academy formally saying, okay, Afro beats isn't niche anymore.
Not just dumped into world music.
Exactly. It's not a subcategory. They're acknowledging it as a primary driver of the global soundscape now. It's cementing its place, you know, right at the heart of global music culture.
Wow, a primary driver.
Yeah. And like you said, this is a cultural milestone, truly decades in the making. It reflects this massive groundswell.
And you can really trace those roots way back, can't you? It's not like it appeared overnight.
Not at all.
Our sources describe Afrobeats as this amazing fusion. You've got West African rhythms like high life, that classic Ghanaian sound.
The guitar-driven stuff.
Right, and then blended with hip-hop, reggae, dancehall. It's evolved into this truly worldwide thing.
Dominating streaming charts, festival lineups.
Even TikTok trends. It's not just regional anymore, it's properly global.
Absolutely. It's a testament to its organic growth, its real widespread appeal.
So, okay, if it's been bubbling up for decades, why now? Why 2026? What created this perfect moment the sources talk about?
Well, there are a few key things converging. First off, you just can't ignore the streaming numbers.
The sheer volume of plays?
Exactly. Streaming supremacy. We're talking Afrobeats tracks regularly hitting hundreds of millions of plays. Artists like Burna Boy, Tems, WizKid, Rima.
Household names now, practically.
They are. And they're not just popular in certain circles, they're breaking into the Billboard Hot 100 consistently. That shows undeniable mainstream appeal.
So the industry just had to take notice.
It couldn't ignore it any longer. It sustained massive listenership, not just a flash in the pan.
Makes sense. And alongside that streaming power, there's been this huge wave of collaborations, right? Cross-genre stuff.
Oh, absolutely crucial. That's definitely helped expand their reach exponentially.
Like Drake's One Dance? That felt like a big moment.
That was seminal, yeah. Back in 2016, featuring WizKid, it really opened the door for a much wider audience.
And it hasn't stopped.
No way. More recently, you've got huge pop, R&B, Latin stars, Beyonce, Chris Brown, Selena Gomez. They're actively seeking out collaborations.
So it's blurring the lines.
Completely blurring genre lines. And just showing the universal appeal of the sound. The established industry is paying attention. They're participating.
But it's not just about the music industry metrics, is it? The commercial side?
No, not at all.
The sources highlight something really interesting. Afrobeats as cultural diplomacy.
Yeah, this soft power idea.
Exactly. It's become this export for African nations, influencing fashion, dance, even tourism.
It's incredible. There's that amazing personal story you mentioned, Matthias Brun, the DJ in DC.
Oh, right. He said, growing up, being African was seen as not cool.
Yeah, and now everyone's asking him, what's popping in Ghana right now? What's popping in Nigeria?
Seeking out African fashion.
It shows such a profound shift in cultural perception, doesn't it?
It really does.
It's a powerful testament to how this music can change narratives, elevate a whole continent's cultural influence globally. It's not just entertainment.
It's about respect, visibility.
Exactly. And importantly, this didn't just happen randomly.
You mentioned producer Jules, but it was broader than that.
Much broader. Years of lobbying. Artists, producers, executives, people behind the scenes were actively pushing for fairer representation at major award shows like the Grammys.
So how did that work? Were they meeting with the Academy?
Yeah, absolutely. Coordinated efforts, artist collectives, label execs, cultural groups presenting compelling data, streaming numbers, tour success, cultural impact.
Building the case.
Building a case that just became impossible to ignore. It was a long game, you know, sustained pressure.
And it shows that formal recognition often needs that kind of organized push. Okay, so we've got streaming, collaborations, cultural impact, advocacy, this perfect storm. What does it all mean then for the business side? And maybe more importantly, for the identity of the artists and fans.
Let's look at the business first. For labels, managers, streaming platforms, this new Grammy category, it's going to have a significant impact.
More investment.
Definitely predict increased investment, more label signings, specifically for Afrobeats acts, more tour sponsorships, more sync deals.
Sync deals. That's music and films, TV, ads.
Exactly. Big money there.
Yeah.
And think about award season marketing. Now, campaigns will be strategically built around Grammy eligibility for this category.
Like they do for pop or hip hop?
Precisely. Exactly. Mirroring those sophisticated campaigns, which in turn boost global touring opportunities, festival headliner potential, really professionalizes the whole pathway.
Makes sense. We heard from Tina Davis, Empire.
Yeah. President of Empire, U.S. label with a big African roster. She pointed out how the music started with the diaspora, but now it's a worldwide phenomenon.
A worldwide phenomenon. But it's not just about the business deals or the awards races. There's something deeper.
Oh, absolutely. That cultural resonance is huge.
For the artists, for the fans.
It's validation. Think about the millions of fans across Africa and the diaspora who've championed this sound for years, often feeling overlooked, you know?
Yeah, by the mainstream institutions.
Exactly. So this Grammy nod.
Yeah.
It's more than a trophy chase. It says, we see you, we hear you, we value this.
And for the younger artists coming up,
it sends a powerful signal. You can achieve commercial success and critical acclaim without watering down your roots. You don't have to compromise your sound.
Keep it authentic.
Right. Tina Davis put it so well, talking about Amapiano hits, like Tyler's Water, Amapiano. That's South African deep house sound with those log drums.
Yeah, you can't mistake that sound.
You can't stop moving.
Wow. That's the power.
That's the visceral, undeniable power finally getting its due.
Such a great description.
Okay,
let's shift focus slightly to the Grammys themselves. They're changing quite a bit, aren't they?
They are.
This African music performance category isn't the only new one. There are three new ones total for next year, including pop dance recording, alternative jazz, bringing the total to 94 categories.
94?
Yeah. And they moved producer and songwriter of the year into the main Big Four field. So with all this change, is the Academy leading or are they playing catch up?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's one being actively debated, like we saw in that FXL Black report.
Right. There are two viewpoints there.
Exactly. One perspective really praises the Academy, calls it a best-in-class example of diversity, equity, and inclusion done right.
High praise.
Yeah. Highlighting CEO Harvey Mason Jr., the DEI team, saying the process for these new categories was efficient, involved members, committees, the board, and didn't take years and years. Suggests they're being responsive, progressive.
Okay, but then the other side?
The other perspective feels they're still playing catch up. They appreciate the new categories, sure, but they want to see more.
So it's progress, but maybe not enough yet for some.
It's that nuanced discussion about institutional change, right? Progress is welcome, but there's always that question of whether it goes far enough, fast enough.
I'm thinking historically, Tina Davis made that point about the old global music category.
Yeah, she called it unfair, just lumping everything together.
A catch-all.
A catch-all that didn't respect the individual identities. So this new category, Best African Music Performance, is much better because it specifically looks for songs using unique local expressions from across the African continent.
That specificity is key.
Shows a deeper understanding, more respect, and the voting process helps two members vote in categories where they have expertise.
Trying to ensure informed decisions, not just popularity contests.
Hopefully, yeah. For these diverse new categories, that's important.
Okay, so looking ahead to 2026, it's still a way off, but are people already talking contenders? And what does this mean for the broader landscape of African music beyond the big Afrobeats and Amapiano names?
Well, the speculation has definitely started that G Gray Records research mentioned Ghanaian producer Guilty Beats.
Yeah, who's he tipping?
He's already tipping Afrofusion star MOII as a serious 2026 contender. After her viral hit, Shake It to the Max, FLII in a big remix with Vibez Cartel.
Okay, one to watch.
For sure, but it's interesting. The PBS NewsHour report noted that the nominees this year, even in the global categories, were mainly Afrobeats or Amapiano artists.
Yeah.
Mostly from Nigeria or South Africa.
So quite concentrated.
Right, and that's where Professor Anita Gonzalez from Georgetown comes in. She calls this just the tip of the iceberg.
Tip of the iceberg. So what's underneath? What does she hope this category will eventually spotlight?
Her vision is much broader. She hopes it will eventually shine a light on the huge panoply of African music.
Panoply? I like that.
Yeah, she mentioned South African vocal chants, the string music of the griots.
Those traditional West African musicians and storytellers?
Exactly. Also Ethiopian music, North African sounds. There's so much diversity. She really hopes the Grammy recognition helps people understand the vitality of each of the countries and the unique kind of ethnographic sounds that they're producing.
Beyond just the current big hit.
Precisely. And there's even talk, a long-term vision shared by many for maybe one day having an African Grammy show.
Wow, like the Latin Grammys.
Exactly like the Latin Grammys, making the potential impact, well, the sky's the limit, as they say.
That's incredible. It really comes back to what Matthias Broom said, doesn't it? It's great to finally see it.
It really does.
The cultural footprint is just going to keep growing, you feel, and hopefully you listening are getting a real sense of this evolution now.
Yeah, if we just step back and look at the big picture, this dedicated category is such a powerful affirmation. It's not just about sales figures. It reflects the deep cultural impact, the history of these sounds, but it also raises an interesting question, doesn't it? How will this formal recognition, how will it both elevate, but maybe also challenge the incredible diversity of African music as it gets even more global attention?
That's a really good point. Will it push everything towards one mainstream sound, or will it actually help spotlight all the different unique styles?
That's the question to watch, I think.
So what does this all mean for you listening? Well, hopefully you've got a much deeper grasp now on why Afrobeats and African music more broadly is getting this recognition. Frankly, long overdue recognition.
It's a fantastic gateway.
Totally. A gateway to explore artists like MOII, who we mentioned, but also the big names like Burna Boy, Thames, Wizkid, Rima, Tyla, and just appreciate the incredible rhythms and stories they're bringing to the whole world.
So much great music out there.
So much. We talked about the tip of the iceberg, and I want to leave you with a thought to chew on. What's the next sound? The next niche sound from some corner of the world that's maybe already shaping our playlist, just waiting for its big mainstream moment.
Always something bubbling under.
stories told. A tapestry of beads so bold. Trumpets sing, the voices soar. Africa's heart at every door. Oh, the world can't help but sway. Feel the heat, it paves the way. The rhythm of the
Hi, this is Samantha. Thanks a million to everyone for your overwhelming support by listening to the G-Ray Records Music Network. Also, when you find the time, you might want to check out the G-Ray Records podcast. You enjoy.